I think if you've been hanging around this place for a while, you can probably tell that we are really all about community-based outreach ministry. That is a big passion for us. It's a big part of the direction that we're taking. It explains a lot of the resources that we're investing here. And some of what we're doing might make sense to you. It might not. And we're just here to talk about that and to try to give a sense of direction for the passages from Scripture that are guiding us and the things that we're trying to do and the things that we hope to do in the days ahead. And I want you to know I view this more as a workshop type thing, and so if there's something that you're wondering about, feel free to ask a question. I'm more than happy to try to address them. I'll try to leave some time at the end for just dialogue and that sort of thing. So let's just talk about this matter of loving your community and see where this particular presentation will take us. Finding fresh ways to make a difference for Christ. And I think that the bottom line is a lot of our churches are not reaching their town for Christ. If the stats are to be believed, a lot of our churches are not growing. We're not making much of an impact on the communities in which we live. And I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to say if that's the case, something's really bad wrong. Because Jesus made a promise. He said he was going to build his church. And I think he's really serious about that. I don't think he had his fingers crossed behind his back when he said that. And I just have trouble putting together the fact that Jesus made a promise and it doesn't seem to be happening. At least not like I think it ought to be if God's alive. And so I just tend to think that maybe we ought to rethink some things. And not rethink the Scripture, but rethink our application of the Scripture in the day and age in which we live. And in some of our churches, I think it's going to be change or die. I really believe that. And so I think we need to talk about some fresh ways to make a difference for Christ. Now, let me just begin by asking your input to a simple question. As believers in Jesus Christ, are we supposed to love the world? What do you mean, yes? Somebody over here said no. Now, wait a minute. Yes or no? Okay, somebody says yes. Somebody says no. Okay, well, for you yes people, I got a verse for you. 1 John 2:15, love not the world. How much clearer could it be in the Bible? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So all you people who said yes, you need to repent maybe. For you know, people, I got a verse for you. For God so loved the... Oh man, now we got a problem, don't we? What are you going to do about those two verses? Well, here, let me give you some options. One, you could say that God contradicts himself. See, there's obviously contradictions in the Bible, and there's a clear example of them. John 3:16 compared to 1 John 2:15. And for crying out loud, that's even written from the same person, humanly speaking, and even that contradicts itself. Or you could say this. You could say, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of God has a double standard. In other words, he has one set of rules for you. You can't love the world. And he has a different set of standards for himself. He does love the world. How do you like that answer? You don't like either of those answers? You want a third option before you pick? Or before you stick me in the nearest dumpster? Maybe the word world is used differently in the Bible. You think that could be? The word world is used at least three different ways in Scripture. One is to describe the physical world, the earth, the globe, the creation. And the second way is the world of people, human beings. Now, the third is the world system, or the world philosophy. And obviously, I mean, we all know this. God does not want us to love the world system or the world philosophy. That's what 1 John 2 is talking about. But he wants us to aggressively love the world of people. And I would like to suggest to you that I think that's a very challenging balance to strike. How do you love the world of people without getting tangled up with the world philosophy? I think it's a very challenging balance to strike. I also believe that in many of our kind of churches, we tend to confuse those various uses. In fact, I think we're better at hating the world system than we are at loving the world of people. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. And when I say this, I'm not saying, well, if we would do that, that would be a better church growth strategy. I'm suggesting learning to love the world better would help us be more like our God. Now, another way of thinking about this, I mean, if you're on board with this idea, how do we connect what we believe and what we desire to share with others, with the world of people around us. You could think of it from this perspective. Let's say the center circle is our mission, the glory of God, what it is that we say that we really believe, and how do you connect it with your neighborhood? How do you connect it with your community? How do you connect it with the world? And please tell me you're passionate about figuring out some way to connect those two circles. Is that true? All right, then. So that's the big question before the house. How do you connect the inner circle with the outer circle? And for whatever it's worth, for this church, historically, we have found having a biblical counseling ministry to be one of the great connection points. There's no question about the fact that if you ask yourself, how has this church been built, humanly speaking, the way that we have connected ourselves from our mission, what we really believe, our core doctrine, and the people who live right around us, the answer is by having a counseling ministry. And by making counseling services available to people in this town who are hurting, and to make them available free of charge, and to let it be known in this community that if you're having a problem, if you're having a difficulty, there are trained people at this church that will be happy to sit down and talk with you free of charge. And we've seen a number of people come to know Christ through that ministry. In fact, this past year, I think there were 166 new members added to our church this year. In the last 3 years, there's been somewhere between 450 and 500 people added to this church in the last 3 years. And by the way, I'm not all fired up about numbers, but I'm a lot fired up about souls. So don't ask me to apologize for talking about numbers from time to time. We want Tippecanoe County to be a really hard place to get to hell from. And so I'm just going to tell you right now, we want to win every person in this town to Christ, every last one of them. And if you say, I thought you were more of a Calvinist than that, well, I think maybe they're all elect. I mean, I just want, and I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure, but I'm going to assume they are. That's the premise I'm going to act on. And as a result, I want to do everything that we possibly can to reach people. So I'm glad that 166 people joined our church last year. I'm glad that 450, 500, whatever, have joined it in the last 3 years. But if you just look down through those names and ask yourself the question, how did we come in contact with them? And I do think you ought to ask that question, by the way. I mean, what's working? And there's no question about the fact that year in and year out around here, one of the highest answers to that question is through the doors of the counseling ministry. And if God took me somewhere else, and I'm certainly not wanting Him to, but if God took me somewhere else, I am quite certain that it would not be long before I'd be starting a counseling center. Absolutely. If for no other reason than the outreach opportunities that that affords, that that provides. And so this church has found having a counseling ministry to be a great way to connect the circles. That's the point. Now, what I'm talking to you about tonight is, what's the next logical extension of that? In other words, what does biblical counseling look like when it hits the street? And what does this philosophy of ministry look like in trying to address other areas of human need? So that's what I mean by nurturing a compassion-minded church or loving your community. Now, with that in mind, open your Bible, please, to Matthew chapter 5. And this is a well-known passage of Scripture. I'm not thinking that when we read this passage, some folks are going to say, I've never heard that before. But I do think sometimes the danger of well-known passage of Scripture is that we tend to skirt over the argument without carefully thinking it through. And I think there's some things about this text that we need to chew on, and we need to chew on a lot. So let's work on it together, shall we? Matthew 5, beginning in verse 13. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now I think the argument changes here. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Then verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good, what? Works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, let's look for three principles to help us rightly love our world. That's what we're going to try to get from this passage of Scripture. Three principles to help us rightly love our world. It starts right here, I think. Biblical Christianity, by its very nature, is a public enterprise. I think in verses 13 to 15, Jesus is telling us something that is intrinsically true about the church. Verse 13, you are this. Okay, that's the grammar. You are the salt of the world. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say you should be. He doesn't say you can be. He says you are. And one of the questions I would ask every person in the room is, does the church recognize the intrinsic public nature of our organization? To be salt and light to the world in which we live. And to